Starting here on the top of Ted Vovam and Aleph, six lines down. Tanur Banan. Maseh b'Rabbi Yoshua ben Chananya, Shaya omeid agav maleh b'har habayit. So here we have Rabbi Yoshua ben Chananya, who's up on a staircase or the stairs leading up to Har HaBayit. V'ra'o ben Zoma. And ben Zoma catches sight of him. V'lo amad milpanav, but did not stand up. Didn't pay the proper respects that he should have. He didn't stand up. Sounds like he was absent-minded of sorts. He didn't really notice the fact that Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya was there. So two things to note over here. First of all, this is similar to a Gemara we saw in the Gemara in Brachot as well, which is Ben Zoma is a contemporary of Rabbi Akiva. And so the story here is post-Khurban, post-Khurban Abayit. And you have Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, Shomeda Gav Maleh Bahar Abayit. He's on a stairs or a staircase up on Har HaBayit. So another proof, the fact that they were visiting Har HaBayit that time, or they were visiting that area around Har HaBayit, because here you have a story that relates to the stairs. He's at the top of the stairs up to Har HaBayit. The other thing to note here is that the Gemara is going through each of the individuals that we spoke about in the Pardes. There were four individuals, and the Gemara is going to talk each of them. Obviously, there's nothing to say about Ben Azai, because Ben Azai passed away. So there's nothing left to speak about. So the other three we're going to discuss, which is Ben Zoma, Acher, and Rabbi Akiva. So far, we have certain halachot that we saw that Ben Zoma was addressing. So that was a great Talmud Chacham. And now we'll speak a little bit about Ben Zoma post his foray into the Pardes, which is that he sees Rabbi Yoshua ben Chananya on Har HaBayit, and he doesn't stand up for him. Amalo me'ayin, ule ayin ben Zoma. He says politely to Ben Zoma, where are you coming from? Where are you going to, Ben Zoma? As if he's somewhere else. He's not here. He was somewhere else, and now he like came back. Amarlo tzofe ayiti ben mayim elyonim lemayim atachtonim. I was looking at between, or the area between the upper waters and the lower waters. Vein bein zeh lezeh ela shlosh etzba'ot bilvad. There's only three etzba'ot between them. Shenemar, proof is from Ruach Elukim mirachefet al pnei amayim, that the Spirit of God was hovering, floating over the water. Ki yonah shemirachefet al bana, just like a dove hovers over its children. Ve'inu nogat, but never touches them. There's no evidence, but he's suggesting that that means that it was three etzba'ot off. And similarly, the mayim elyonim and mayim tachtonim have that separation. Amar lahen Rabbi Yoshua l'talmidav. So Rabbi Yoshua turns to his students and says, Adayin ben Zoma mibachutz. Ben Zoma is still on the outside. Now, mibachutz makes it sound like he is still contemplating, trying to reconcile, being mitmodeid, grappling with, attempting to deal with his experience in the Pardes. And that he's still floating through that, absent-minded because his head is on it, and he's still having trouble with what he saw. Trouble is indicated by the fact that he thinks that there are three etzba'ot between the mayim elyonim and mayim tachtonim, because michtei, Ruach Elokim Rachevet al Pnei Amayim, Eimat Havi. When did that happen? Beyom Rishon. Havdalah, Beyom Shini Hu Da'avai. Division between the upper waters and the lower waters only happened on the second day. Dichtiv Vihi Mavdil Ben Mayim Lamayim. So that the Rakia is only Mavdil Ben Mayim Lamayim on the second day. And here we're talking about Ruach Elokim Rachevet al Pnei Amayim on the first day. Vikamo. And how much is that separation between them? So Amar Rav Acha bar Yaakov, kumlo nima. It's like a hair's breadth difference. Rabbanan Amrei ki gudod gamla. It is like the planks or the boards of a bridge that are adjacent to each other. So they're very small cracks, a hair breadth crack between them. Marzut Shavi Tamer of Asi Amar ki trei glime de prise adodi. It's like two pieces of clothing that one on top of the other. So there is a separation between them, but a very fine separation between them. It's like two cups that are stacked one on top of the other. Again, there's space between them, but almost indiscernible, very small space between them. Again, this goes back to what we spoke about yesterday, the question of what happened in the Pardes, or what cause problems both for Acher, which we're going to speak about more now, and for Ben Zuma. And over here, the Bavli seems to lean heavily, and this is what I mentioned yesterday, this idea of the separation between the Maim Elyonim and Maim Tachtonim, that God's dominion is only up over the upper spheres or only over the heavens, and that God's interaction is not with the world below. And you see that by Ben Zuma's statement of the three etzbaot. There's a separation between the Elyonim and Tachtonim, whereas the other opinions here talk about a hair's breadth, that there is no separation. It's a hair's breadth because there is a separation, but the separation isn't real because it's so thin, and therefore God's dominion is over everything, both the upper and lower. And Ben Zuma is trying to deal with the fact that it's seemingly Hashem's dominion is only over the upper spheres and not over the lower spheres. It's interesting. This is the story in the Bavli. The Gemara Bavli, this is a story we're going to see again with Acher, that his story also has a similar feel to it. This idea that Hashem's dominion is above and that there's some sort of dualism here or a duality with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's interesting that the Bavli favors this because that is the preeminent Avodah Zarah, we'll call it, or belief in Bavel. In Persia and in Bavel, they believed in Zoroastrianism, which is the idea that there is an evil and a good, light and dark, and this idea of duality, we spoke about it when we spoke about the Zugot as well. And so this is very prevalent in Bavel. And here they say the problem for both, we're going to see here, Ben Zoma now and Acher coming up, was this problem of duality. The Yerushalmi takes a very different approach. And again, it would make sense that the Bavli assigns the problem that they see around them, the contemporary scenario that you would have assumed is what caused the problem, the Pardes, as Yerushalmi has a different view, and we'll get to that in a second when we talk about Acher. But that's what seems to be the problem that Ben Zoma is having. Ben Zoma sees a separation between the Maim Elyonim and Maim Tachtonim, and his proof is from a pasuk that shouldn't be a proof. The proof text that he brought was because Ruach Elokim Rachefet al Pnei Amayim. But that text isn't relevant because the Havdalah only takes place on the second day. That's his point, that Ben Zoma sees a gap based on a pasuk from the first day, even though the Havdalah, the separation, only takes place on the second day. He uses a pasuk from the first day to explain it, and that's what he means here, that he's still, quote-unquote, confused. He's on the outside because he's trying to deal with what he saw. And because he's trying to deal with what he saw, he's still confused and using things that overlap between the first and second day, his inability to see that Hashem's dominion is complete. And that's the problem or the challenge that his duality or dualism that he is facing. Now, Acher, kitzetz v'nitiyot. Acher cut down or uprooted the saplings. The reason they use this imagery is because Arba nichnasu lepardes. They had gone into the orchard. So this is an imagery that talks about kfira in a consistent manner to entering into the pardes. So now the Gemara is going to explain what he saw. Allah v'katuv omer. The pasuk says about him, Al titene picha lachtit b'sarecha. Don't allow your mouth to cause your flesh, your body to go astray. Mahi. What happened? Chaza mitatron, titiava le reshuta, le metav, le michtav zachvata du Yisrael. So mitatron, again, mitatron shows up numerous times in Chazal and in the Torah Shebaal Peh and the Midrashim. Question of who he is or what he is. But let's call him the Sar Shel Olam, the ministering angel of the world. And Acher gets a glimpse of this Mitatron, and then he had permission to for a moment, Biyoma, and during the day, the Meitav, to sit down and to write down the merits of Klal Yisrael. Acher gets a glimpse of this. Amar Gmira to Lamalo Lohavi Lo Yeshiva Velo Tacharut Velo Oref Velo Yipui. Says that there is no sitting. There is no competition. There is no turning your back. And lo yipui, and there's no falling asleep or being tired. All these are descriptions of being in the presence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And basically what he's saying is that to show, or if it was true that a Kadosh Baruch Hu was the singular power, then in front of the singular power, lo yeshiva, there is no sitting. To sit is an indication of comfort. It's an indication of dominion sitting on the throne. So there's no sinning in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. There's no competition in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu because he's the only one. Oh, lower if you can't turn your back. When you back out, you do it facing forward and you bend down. And these are all ideas of respect and out of fear of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And there's no getting tired or lacking the stamina to be there in front of the king, because you can't do that in front of the king. It's too scary to even think about falling asleep or being worn out. Shema chas v'shalom bet rishuyot yesh b'shamayim. Maybe there are two powers up above. So Acher, seeing that this mitatron was given permission to sit down, says, well, if he's sitting, he must be an alternate power. He must have some sort of deal with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. He does this, Hashem does that. But the mere fact that he's sitting already indicates that there's someone else or some other power. And that's what Acher sees and is confused by that. Again, this is this idea of dualism, which again is here in the Bavli. Clearly what they think happened when they entered into the Pardes was that they ran into this problem. So the Miyad, Afku al Mitatron, they took out Mitatron, Shittim Pose Denura, and they struck him with 60 bolts of lightning. So why they did that to him? Here the Rabbeinu Chananel suggests that the reason they did this is Miyad, Machiu al Mitatron, Shittim Pose Denura, Chas V'Shalom Sheish Lav Din. Says, Rabbeinu Chananel says, what? He didn't do anything wrong. Mitatron was given permission to sit down and write down the Skriyot. So why did he get these pulses of lightning? So Ela wrote, Le'elisha, Sheish Lo Adon Shuhu Elav. It was to show Elisha that he was wrong in his assumption that the Mitatron had powers that were equal to God, because he was taken out and then he's punished. Well, you're only taken out and punished if there's some sort of power over you. So that was a way to indicate or to try to rectify this situation. You could argue, and the other Rishonim would say, that he got this because he misled Acher, therefore he was punished for misleading Acher. Even though technically he wasn't doing anything wrong, but he should have realized that Acher was getting a glimpse of him, and that he should have done something to undo it, and not let Acher come to the wrong conclusion. Amalei, my taima, ki chazeite lo kamat mikamei. So the claim against Mitatron is, when you saw him, how come you didn't get up? So it's avilei reshuta the mimcha zachvata da'acher. Then Mitatron's given permission to go and erase all the zechiyot, all the merits of Acher. So the seems here that the shittim pulsei, according to Rabbeinu Chananel, were just for a show, and then he goes back to his job, and his job was to take care of the merits and demerits, and there he goes, and it wipes out all the merits of Acher. Yatzta batko v'amra. This heavenly voice goes out, and this will plague Acher for the rest of his life, which is, Shuvu banim shovavim. Return, O you wayward children, you mischievous children, chutz mi'acher, with the exception of Acher. Now again, this says philosophical and fundamental issues in terms of our belief that everybody can do tshuva and there's always free choice. The fact that over here it says chutz mi'acher implies that maybe he didn't have free choice. The Rabbeinu Chananel tries to mitigate the statement by saying shegaloi bi'adu lefanav she'enu chozer b'tshuva shlema, that he could never, ever, ever do proper or full tshuva. Because had he done tshuva, he would have been fine. He wouldn't have lost out. There is no gate, there is no lock before balei tshuva. Balei tshuva always have the opportunity to come back. So then why does it say by Acher that he can't come back? Because Acher comes from a different background. He's an individual who knew Torah. It's an individual that understood everything before he got there. And the fact that he walked away, even after knowing all that, makes it that it was almost impossible for him to come back. The statement of Chutz Me'acher is not that he can't come back, but the percentages or the likelihoods are very low. We have this in the Rambam. The Rambam talks about certain things that are ma'akev et ha-tshuva, certain things that stop people from the ability to do tshuva. Over there he lists certain things that people engage in that are going to cause them problems and not allow them to do tshuva. When we say they can't do tshuva or not allow them to do tshuva, it doesn't mean literally they can't do tshuva. It's that once you're involved in these items, the likelihood of you doing tshuva is very low, because these are the types of items that prevent individuals from doing tshuva. So Amar hol v'itrid, hau gavra mihau alma, lipik l'anei b'hai alma. It says, if I already lost it from Olam Abba, let me go down to Olam Hazeh and enjoy myself. Nafak acher le tarbut ra'a. Then he went out and started to lead a life of ill repute, to do things that were not acceptable. Nafak ashkach zona. Went out and found a prostitute. Tav'a. He solicits her. Amralei. V'lav Elisha ben Abuyat. And here we know that acher, his real name is Elisha ben Abuya. Aren't you the great Elisha ben Abuya? Sheshimcha yatza b'chol ha'aretz, that your name is spread all over the world. I mean, you're well known. That's how Elisha ben Abuya was known, just regular individual. He's an individual well known through the world. Akar pugla mimishra v'shabbat. He pulls a radish out of the ground, out of a garden patch in Shabbat, v'yayivla, and hands it to her. Amra acherhu. He's definitely someone else. That's where the name acher comes from, which is that acherhu is both literally, he's someone else, and also in the spiritual realm, this is someone else entirely. We're not looking at the same Elisha ben Abuya. She'al acheret Rabbi Meir, l'achar she'yatza l'tarbut ra. Now the Gemara is going to discuss that Rabbi Meir, who's a Talmid of Acher, has many, many interactions with Acher, and a lot of these interactions are even post his foray into the Pardes, and that's what we're going to discuss now. Before we do that, Tosafot over here already discusses the issue about Acher and what led him astray. Tosafot quotes from the Yushalmi, and this is what I said to you, the Yushalmi has a different view about what Acher's problems were. Number one is the story that's brought in the Gemara in Kiddushin, that a young boy or a young man was told, asked by his father for him to go get some eggs from up in a tree. So he climbs up to the tree, does the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKain, and then he falls off the tree and dies. And Elisha ben Abuya, who witnesses this, says he can't believe it, because the person who was performing the mitzvah of Kibud Avim and Shiluach HaKain, both of which have the promise of Arichut Yomim. And yet he fell, and he died. And that's what upset Elisha ben Abuya. That's what he was unable to comprehend or deal with. And therefore, it causes him to go off the derech. Another story as well, and this story will become important, is that Abuya, Elisha's father, made a big party for Elisha ben Abuya when he was born, and then he was going to have his brit. And then he saw the Talmidei Chachamim, I think it was Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Elazar, were learning, and there was fire coming down when they were learning Torah. He goes over and says, what are you going to do? You're going to burn the house down. What are you doing? They said, no, we're Osik b'Torah, and this is what we're involved with. He says, if that's what Torah is about, and that's the covenant of Torah, I'm going to dedicate my son to Torah. That's what he does. Elisha ben Abuya gives over and he dedicates him to Torah. But the commitment of Abuya, Elisha's father, was not a commitment lishma. He did it lo lishma. He said, oh, this is the kavod of the chachamim. This is the way that the chachamim are. Then I want my son to be like that. Not because he wanted him to learn Torah, but because he wanted him to have the resulting kavod that comes from being a Talmud Chacham. This will become important because we're going to see now that the Gemara has a fundamental belief that those people that went astray or that were bothered by things that were seen in the Pardes already had a problem beforehand. It wasn't that this caused them to go up the derech, but these are people who were already, quote-unquote, fighting demons. And then once they finally got there, they opened up Pandora's box and they got into trouble because they entered into the Pardes, but they had already been facing issues or with already facing issues. And so it's over here, the start for Elisha ben Abuya, the fact that his father did it slowly shema, all of these things have impact because of what takes place later on in his life. And those brings another story, that the possibility that his mother, when she was pregnant with him, was passing by a house of Avodah Zarah, and she smelt the food that was there, and as pregnant women are wont to do, she became infatuated with the food or the smell that she had. And the Gemara tells us that if a woman reaches that point of sakanat nefesho, we feed her, even if it's not kosher, even if it's nevela, we feed her whatever it is in order that she regains her consciousness or regains her normalcy. So over here, the same thing happened, and she gave into it and ended up eating some of that food from the Avodah Zarah, and then it shook her body and affected Elisha ben Abuya. All, again, stories that the Elisha ben Abuya already faces challenges before he ever gets into the Pardes. So now, the Gemara talks about this story between Acher and Rabbi Meir. Shal Acher and Rabbi Meir. Nachar sheyatza l'tarbut ra. This story takes place after Acher already left the fold and was already acting inappropriately. What's meant by the pasuk? Gam et zeh l'umat zeh asa lukim. That God created this opposite this. What does that mean? So Amar lo, kol masher bara kadosh baruch hu bara kenegdo. So Rabbi Meir answers him and says that all that Hashem created in his world, bara kenegdo. He brought something else alongside of it. Bara harim, bara gvot. Created the mountains. He also created the high places. Bara yamim, bara ne'arot. He created the oceans, but he also created the rivers. So the way that Rabbi Meir views it is zeh keneged zeh doesn't mean opposites, but rather things that are subordinate or secondary items. That's how he learned it. Amar lo, Rabbi Akiva Rabbech lo amar kach. So Elisha ben Abuya Acher says back to him, that's not what Rabbi Akiva said. Ela bara tzadikim, bara rishayim, bara ganenim, bara geinom. He interpreted it the way that you thought, David, which was that it's opposites. Hashem created the tzadikim, he created the rishayim, created ganenim, created geinom. Kol echad v'echad yesh lo bet chalakim. Everybody has two portions. Everybody in the world has two portions. Everybody has a chance at Geinom and a chance at Olam Haba. When you start out, your chances are equal. Echad b'Gan Eden v'echad b'Geinom. Zachat tzadik natal chalko b'chalik chaviro b'Gan Eden. If the tzadik is successful, he not only takes his portion, he takes his friend's portion in Gan Eden. As nitzchayev rasha that goes off the derech, natal chalko b'chalik chaviro b'Geinom. If he goes down the path, or the bad path, ends up in Ganem, he takes his path, and the path, or his chilek, and the chilek of his friend. This might have to do with the idea that a person who is chote umachti et rabim, then chet rabim talui bo. That a person who sins and causes others to sin, so not only is he punished for his sins, he's then responsible for the other people's sins. And the same thing with a person who is schut, a person who is zoche umezake et rabim, someone who is successful, but also helps the Rabbim to succeed, he also gets the merit of the Rabbim. So this would be the idea that a person goes to Gan Eden, not only gets his chelik, but he gets the chelik of those that he helped to get there as well, or those that didn't make it there. There's extra pieces for him. And the same is true the other way around in Geinom. Amar Rav Misharshia Maikoro. What is the pasuk that we know this, that there's a double reward? Gabi Tzadikim Ktiv in Shayahu, it says, Lachin Be'artzam Mishneh Yirashu. So talking about Latid Davo, when Hashem brings everything back and things are going to be good, it says there in their land, Mishneh Yirashu, they will get a double portion, a double inheritance. So you see that Tzadikim get a double inheritance. Gabi Rishayim, how do we know it's true when you go to Geinom? Because it says in Yirmiyahu, in describing what's going to happen, it says, Mishneh Shibaron Shavreim. And a double disaster will befall them or calamity will reach them. So you see that there's this idea of double punishment, double reward for the tzaddikim and double punishment for the rishayim. Sha'al acher et Rabbi Meir, again, another story here, acher as Rabbi Meir, la'achash yatzal taburra, after he had left the fold, my dichtiv, what's meant by the pasuk, lo yarchena zahav, uzuchokit, ut murata kli paz. It's talking about here wisdom in the Iyov. It says, lo yarchena, there is no way to approximate or to value it, zahav, uzuchokit, with gold or with glass, utmurata klipaz, and you can't exchange it for fine gold. And that there's no way to measure the value of chokhmah. Amar lo, so what does Rabbi Meir say back to him? Elu divrei Torah, shekashim leknotan kekli zahav uklipaz. This is talking about Torah, which is hard to acquire, like golden utensils and fine gold utensils. And it's easy to lose them or to ruin them like glass. So again, Acher says, Amar lo Rabbi Akiva Rabbech lo amar kach. Your Rabbi Akiva didn't explain it this way. Ela, ma kli zahav ukli zuchochit, afu pishin nishbaru yesh lahem takana. Gold and glass, even though they shatter or they break, they can be fixed. Af tamar chochem, afu pishin sarach yesh lo takana. Even though he's sinned, gone off the derech, there is a chance to rectify it and can do tshuva. Amalo, avata chazur b'cha. So Rabbi Meir says to Acher, so you're talking the game, why don't you do it? You say that you can come back, even if after you've sinned, why don't you come back? Amalo, kvar shamati machrei pargod. I already heard from behind the curtain, shovu bonim shovavim chutz miacher. Everybody should return, does tshuva except for Acher. So again, this statement that he heard up there plagues him for the rest of his life. Even though he sees opportunities to do tshuva, he feels like he can't do tshuva because they already said in Shemayim it's not going to make a difference. Tanra Banan, Maseh Be'acher, Shei Rochev Al Asus B'Shabbat. He was riding a horse in Shabbat against, obviously, the Takanat Chachamim. V'yer Rabbi Meir Malech Acharav L'Mod Torah Mipiv. And Rabbi Meir was following him in order to learn Torah from his mouth that he was engaged in Torah. So then he says, Amar Lo Meir Chazor La'Acharecha. Says, Rabbi Meir, stop here. Can't go any further. Shvar Shi'arti B'Yikvei Asusi. I already figured out from the hoofs or the gallop or the stride of the horse. Ad Kan Tchum Shabbat. You reach Tchum Shabbat and you have to turn around. So here, the Bavli views this, or it seems to be that they're talking about how great the Acher was, that he was able to figure out the Tchum from riding on a horse, where most people couldn't have a hard time figuring out if they're just walking. But he was able to do it to show the tremendous Chuchmah and Torah that was associated with Acher. Yushalmi has a slightly different version of it, basically suggesting that Acher was making fun of Rabbi Meir, saying, look, you know, you're ready at Tchum Shabbat and you didn't even realize it, and, you know, I did, making fun of him that you guys don't know what you're doing. That's the way the Yushalmi takes it. The Yushalmi also speaks about what Acher did afterwards, why he thinks he can't do tshuva, and the Yushalmi has a much, much more dire description of Acher's leaving the fold or going onto a derech of Tarbut Ra'ah. Here the Gemara just describes that he got together with a prostitute and so on and so forth. And the Yushalmi talks about the fact that he was killing Talmidei Chachamim, and that he used to turn over people who learned Torah to the authorities. He was a moser. He did all these terrible things. Seems to be that it would have been associated with the Adrianic persecutions, because that was happening at that time with Rabbi Akiva, and it seems to be that he helped them carry out those persecutions. And that's what he says in the end, he can't do tshuva for, because he really did things that were terrible. Another thing that the Yushalmi notes is that he is led astray by the fact that he sees a dog walk off with the tongue of Rabbi Yehuda HaNachtom. He says, Zu Torah v'zu schara. How could it be that this Talmid Chacham who was erudite, spoke Torah yomam v'laylo, and this is what happens to him in the end? So again, another reason why he couldn't reconcile with it, and that's why it led him astray. So now, Amalei Afatach Chazur B'cha. Again, Rabbi Meir prompts him to try to do tshuva. Didn't I tell you already? I already heard from up in Shemaim, Shuvu Banim Shuvim Chutz Mecher. There's no chance for me. Takface, Rabbi Meir grabs him. Aila the Bei Midrash, takes him to Bei Midrash. Go ahead, tell us a pasuk. By the way, this is like the goral of the Vilna Gaon, or these types of ideas. We say to a young child, tell me what pasuk you're learning. It was seemed to be as some sort of Nivuah, or light form of Nivuah, that was indicative of what it was. Amalo, Ein Shamom Amar Hashem L'Rishayim. There is no peace for the Rishayim, Hashem says. Ayla L'Bei K'nishtach Rida, takes him into another shul. Amalo, the Yenoka P'sukli P'sukeich. Again, tell me a pasuk. Amalo, Kim Tichabsi Baneter V'Tarbi Lach Borit Nichtam Avonech Lifanai. Again, second parak in Yirmiyahu, we read this as one of the Shalosh De Purunata during the 3 weeks. Even if you launder with lie, and put on tons of soap, your stain of your sin, of your iniquity is before me. You can't erase it. You can't get rid of it. Takes him into another shul. Again, give me a pasuk. Again, this is in Yo, describing what the people are doing. It says, Atshadud, you are a ruined one. Matasi, what are you going to do now? Kill to Bishishani, just because you get dressed up in crimson. Kidadi adizav, that you deck yourself out in ornaments of gold. Kitikri bapuchenayich, that you enlarge or color your eye with the makeup. Lashav titiapi. It's worthless. You are decorating yourself or making yourself pretty. You can't cover up the sins that you've done. You can't get rid of it. You're just putting a layer of makeup on top, but underlying this is accusations of terrible sins that Bnei Israel are doing, and just putting makeup on is not going to solve it. So again, this idea that you can't get rid of the sin. You take him into 13 different shuls. Kulu paskuleki ay gavno. And he got psukim along these lines, thematically similar psukim, that basically says, not interested in you. So then they went, Ayla the Bacho, they went into the last one. Amalei Psukli Psukech, tell me your Pasuk. Amalei, Udurasha Amar Lukim, Malachal saper chukai. To the evil one, Hashem says, who are you to speak about my precepts? I mean, why are you involved at all? So hava yinoka v'megamgem v'lishnei, this young child was a stuttering, or because of his nervousness, or whether he just stuttered. And then when he said, Olo Rasha Amar Lukim, Ishtamak Amar Damarle, it sounded as if he said to him, Elisha Amar Lukim. Said to the Rasha, it sounded like Elisha Amar Lukim, and it sounded like he was speaking directly to him. Ikdamri Sakina Avabadei, some say that Elisha himself was carrying around a knife, Vikarei. He ripped him apart, Vishadre Lechulesar Beik Nishte, and he sent his pieces to the 13 different shuls they had visited. Ikdamri Amar, that he said, he didn't do this, but he said, he Avabiyade Sakina Avakaranale. If I had a knife in my hand now, I would cut him up. And this is slightly similar to the Yishalmi, who also describes that Elisha carried out persecutions or killings of young children who learned Torah as part of his leaving the fold and going down this terrible path. So here we have a little hint of that in the Bavli. Right, they're trying to get him to do tshuva, right, exactly, and it fails. So it's basically like the famous Hashgacha Pratit story called Mrs. Goldberg is driving down, they call it Avenue J in Flatbush. She passes by the bakery, and she sees this beautiful cake in the window. She's on a diet now, and she hasn't had cake for a long time. She turns to Hashem and says, listen, Hashem, I don't know if I should eat the cake or shouldn't eat the cake. I'm going to leave it up to you. If there's a parking spot available, then I'll know you want me to eat the cake. If there's no parking spot available, then I know you don't want me to eat the cake. So she leaves it up to Hashem, says, just shkacha protis. Well, know whether I should really eat the cake. And as you know, it's very hard to find parking there in Flatbush. So it would have been a good siman if she got the parking spot. So as the story goes, on her 13th time around the block, she found the parking spot. So that was says, it's hashkacha. Hashem wanted me to have the cake. So too over here, the same idea that you're going from shul to shul, the 13 shuls, looking for a young child to say the right thing. And again and again and again, they're getting the same answer, which is basically pushing against the acher. Now, that doesn't mean, again, he can't do tshuva, but it's pushing against him because of the nature of what he did. He was a big tana and a tzaddik beforehand. The chilul Hashem created by what he did is immeasurable. And the chilul Hashem that he created also cannot be rectified so easily. And so the push against him doing tshuva is that it's just not going to be easy for him to do tshuva. There's going to be a lot of obstacles. There's going to be a lot of trouble for him to do tshuva. Not that it's impossible. It's just going to be very hard. And I think that's the idea that's being repeated over and over and over again here, which is, Acher can't just say, I'm coming back. So for him to come back is going to take a Herculean effort. And that's what these psukim are saying. And that's what Vimir is trying to find a window or an opening to get Acher to come back. And he's getting rebuffed over and over and over again. Again, not because it's not possible, but because it's just not going to be as easy as he thinks. Right, kinachtam sheid acher, when acher passed away, amrei lo midan li daine, we can't judge him. We can't put him into Gehenna and judge him unfavorably because he learned Torah. Lo la'amu da'ati leite, and I can't put him in olam haba because he has not behaved properly. Lo midan li daine mishum dasak b'oraito, because he learned Torah. Lo la'amu da'ati leite mishum dachota, he has been sinning all these years. So amrei Rabbi Meir, says better that he goes into Gehinnom, gets cleansed, and then he can end up in Olam Haba. This being in this twilight zone, in this in-between state, is not a good thing. We got to solve the problem. How do we solve the problem? Let him go to Gehinnom, get cleansed, and then he'll go to Olam Haba and get the rewards for his Torah. So he says, you know what? Matai Amut, whenever I die, Ve'alei Ashan Mikivro, you'll see smoke coming out of his grave, because I'm going to make sure that he ends up in Gehinnom. Sure enough, when Rameir passes away, Salikutra Mikivrei Da'acher, a pillar or column of smoke starts to rise from the grave of Acher. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Vurta, the Mikle Rabbe, that's a great thing to say, or that's a mighty thing that Rabbi Meir did, that he now has his Rebbe being cooked in Gehinnom, being singed in Gehinnom. Chad Hava Beinana, Velo Matinu Natzulei, he was one of us. He was a Talmud Chocham, and we can't take care of him, we can't save Acher. If I go grab him by his hand, man miramile, man, who's going to stop me from taking him into Olam Haba? Amar matay amut, when I die, or when I die, v'achabe ashan mikivro, there will no longer be any smoke rising from his grave, meaning I'm taking him into Olam Haba. Kinaf nashay de Rabbi Yochanan, pasak kutra mikivrei da'acher. Then when Rabbi Yochanan passes away, the smoke stops coming or rising from the grave of Acher. Patach Eliyahu Sofdano, this eulogizer opens about Rabbi Yochanan, Afilu Shomer Petach Lo Amad Lefanecha Rabbeinu. Even the guard of Geinom couldn't stand before you, Rabbi Yochanan, because he went in there, grabbed Acher and pulled him out, took him to Olam Haba. Bito Shel Acher Achele Kameh Rabbi. The daughter of Acher appears before Rabbi. Amrele Rabbi Parnaseini, help me out, I need help. Give me some stalka. Amrele Bat Miat, who are you? Amrele Bito Shel Acher Ani. I'm the daughter of Acher. Amrele Adayin Yesh Mizaro Be'olam. There's still someone from his descendants around. I can't believe it. Vaktiv, the pasuk says, Lo nin lo, lo nechen ba'amo ve'in sarid b'migurav. There's no great-grandchild, no grandchild amongst this nation. There is no fugitive, or there's no one who escaped, maybe migurav, from amongst his dwellings. And this is talking about the Rasha, that there's no remnant left of them. Amru lo zachor l'torah tov atuzkor ma'asav. Remember his great Torah and not remember his deeds. Miyad yarda esh v'sichat safsalo shel Rabbi. Right away, a fire came down from heaven and singed the bench on which Rabbi was sitting. Bocha v'amar Rabbi. Rabbi cries and says, Oma l'mit ganim ba, kach l'mishtabchim ba. For someone who denigrated the Torah, this is what they do up in heaven to protect him. Certainly for those that uphold the Torah and give kavod to the Torah, kam v'kama, certainly they should be rewarded. But you see again that they had to be careful about the way they spoke about Acher. Was assumed that he's all bad. But the truth was that he had a certain amount of power and positive side to him because of the Torah that he had learned originally. Rabbi Meir, Heichi Gamar Torah Mipumei D'Acher. This is the biggest question. How does Rabbi Meir learn Torah from Acher after what Acher has become? This is based on the Gemara we saw together in Moed Katan, which I discussed over there, an important fundamental principle about learning. V'amar Rabbi Barchana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mai Dichtiv, what is meant by the Pasuk? Kisiftei Kohen Yishmeru Dat, V'Torah Yivakshu Mipiyu, Ki Malach Hashem Tzvakodu. The lips of the Kohen will guard the faith. Bitorah and the learning of Torah, they will ask from him, they will get from him. Ki malach Hashem tzvakot, because he is like an angel of God. Who? Imdomea rav, le malach Hashem tzvakot. If the Rebbe, if the one who's teaching Torah is like an angel of God, yivakshu Torah mipiu, then you can learn from him. Fim lav, al yivakshu Torah mipiu. If not, don't learn from him. A person's Torah is tainted by his actions, by his character. That is important. In the learning of Torah, the purity of Torah, and getting the right Torah, one can't simply learn from anyone. They have to learn from people whose character, demeanor, and actions reflect the Torah that they're teaching. They have to be Naya Doresh v'Naya Kayam, someone who is both Doresh and Mikayim the Torah. And so you can't just learn Torah from anybody, and you can't learn Torah especially from people who don't act appropriately. So Amar Reish Lakish, Rabbi Meir Kara Ashkach v'Dorash. She found a pasuk, and he was Doresh. Pasuk says, Hat oznecha, tilt your ear, Ushma, and listen, divrei chachamim, to the words of the chachamim, vilibcha tashit l'dati, and your heart should be applied to my knowledge. L'datam lo ne'amar, it should have said l'datam, because it says, Shma divrei chachamim, listen to the words of chachamim, it should have said, then, apply your heart to their knowledge. It doesn't say l'datam, ela l'dati, to my word, implying that, the dati means you listen to the Torah, even though these individuals, you don't want to apply yourself to, meaning that you take out the Torah from amongst what is there. It's talking about a Rasha. Rav Chanina Amar Miochi learned from this pasuk, Shimi Baturi, listen, my daughter, take note of, consider, Vati Oznech, lean over here, V'shichichi Ameich, U'beit Avich. Forget your nation, forget the house of your father, and come be a part of the royalty. Again, the same idea. Forget about all the bad stuff in the character, just get the Torah out. So Gemara says, well then, Kashu Krayododi. Now you have one pasuk saying you can learn Torah from people who don't act appropriately, just take the Torah, leave everything else behind. The other one says you can't learn Torah from anybody who doesn't act appropriately. Lokasha, Abigadol, Abigatan. The difference between them is the stature of the individual learning. For most people, you can't do it. You gotta learn Torah from people whose character reflects the Torah that they teach, otherwise it's inappropriate. For a gadol like Rabbi Meir, who can differentiate and who can be discerning, then he can, if he so chooses, if he feels that he can do it, then he can learn Torah for someone like this and take out the good stuff from that. Kiata Rabdimi Amar Amrei B'Marovo, they say in Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Meir Achal Tachlo V'Shodo Shichlo Debaro, that he used to eat the date and spit out the seed. He took the good and left the bad. Dorash Rovo Maidichti, what is meant by the Pasuk, El Ginat Egoz Yaradati, I went down to the garden of nuts, the Ot Be'anachal, to see the fruits of the valley of the riverbeds. Lama Nimshlu Tamir Chamin Egoz, why are Tamir Chamin compared to nuts? Lama Lachamai Gozaf Pishimilu Chlach Betitu Betzoa, this nut, even if it's covered in dirt and excrement, Emash V'tocha Nimas, it's always protected, what's inside is always protected because of the shell that is around it. So no matter what happens to the nut, you can always eat what's inside because you just break the shell of it. Even though he's gone off the derech, done something wrong, it doesn't ruin his Torah. So again, this is a very, very different sentiment to what we heard above. Above we heard that it does affect his Torah and you can't learn from him because it has impact. Now, what the Gemara seems to be implying here is that the Torah is not tainted, the Torah remains pure, but the person who learns from him will be affected by his character, not because it changes the Torah he teaches, but because a person who learns Torah from an individual not only learns the Torah, but also learns behavior, character. It's a more holistic type of learning from the individual, and therefore you're going to be influenced improperly. Although, again, we're going to see in a second that the Gemara pushes against that, and it seems to be that the Torah is tainted, and there is a problem with such Torah, because it's not enough to be teaching Torah or have the intellectual Torah. It has to be a person whose whole world reflects that Torah, because that embodiment of the Torah is really the Torah that we're trying to pass to the next generation. We're not trying to pass Torah as an intellectual or academic a Torah. We're trying to pass Torah, which is a living Torah. And the only way you can do that is someone who is living the Torah conveys the Torah. Ashkei Rabba Bar Shila Leo. Rabba Bar Shila finds Leo. Amalei, my kavod of Kodesh Baruch. What is Kodesh Baruch doing now? Amalei, kamar shmaitetam yipayim udukula rabbanon. He says over the Memrot, the Torah of all the Rabbanon, and he doesn't say over the Torah of Rabbi Meir. I'm like, am I? Why doesn't he say over the Torah of Rabbi Meir? Because his Torah came from Acher, which implies here that his Torah was impure or somehow perverted by the fact that he had learned from Acher. I'm like, am I? Why are you saying that? Rabbi Meir Rimon Matzah, he found a pomegranate. Tocho achal, he ate the inside, klipato zarak, and he threw the shell away. Amalei, hashto kamar, just as you said that and came to the defense of Rabbi Meir, now I hear a Kodesh Baruch Hu saying, Meir bini omer, Meir my son says, and now he starts to quote Torah in the name of Rabbi Meir, Zman, shadam mitzter, shchina, malashon omeret, when a person's in pain, what does the shchina say? Kalani miroshi, kalani mizroi, oh, my head hurts, my arm hurts. Talking about, Rabbi Meir, this is in Sanhedrin, talking about why when a person is hanged, why you can't leave it on the tree overnight, is because it's B'Tzelem Elokim, and God feels the pain of the individual. An individual sins and is not going to be punished by death. Hashem feels that pain because he says, I created this individual. This is my creation. This is my work. And this person is sinning. And so you see, Hashem feels the pain of an individual. So now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is quoting Rabbi Meir after Rabbi Bar Shila came to the defense of Rabbi Meir and said Rabbi Meir was different. He was able to take out the Torah without being influenced by Acher. This is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in pain or worries about the blood of the Rishayim, meaning that this is what he says about someone who sinned, right? Then, certainly on the blood of the Tzadikim that is spilled, that Hashem will feel that way. Okay, Ashkei Shmuel the Rabbi Yehuda. Shmuel finds Rabbi Yehuda, the Tali B'Ivra, the Dasha, he was leaning on the bolt of the door of a Kabochin, he was crying. I'm like, Shinina, my Kabochit. Shmuel is Rabbi Yehuda, Shinina's Rebbe, says to him, you sharp one, why are you crying? I'm like, Zutra, mimai dichti bu Rabbanon. Am I any less than what's written about the Rabbanon? It says about the Rabbanon in Yeshayo, Ayesh Sofer. Where is the one who counted or the scribe? Ayesh Shokel. Where is the one who is the receiver? Ayeh sofer et amigdalim. Where is the one who counts the towers? Ayeh sofer sheyu sofrim kolotiyot shebitorah. Where are the sofrim that used to count all the letters of the Torah? Ayeh shokel sheyu shoklim kalim v'chamurim shebitorah. They're able to weigh. Kav v'chomers in the Torah. Ayeh sofer et amigdalim sheyu shonim gimel meyot alachot b'migdal ha-poreach b'avir. They used to learn about 300 alachot, about a cabinet. Literally means a tower, but a tower means like a piece of furniture, like an armoire that is floating in the sky, that's not on the ground. What's the din in terms of an ohel that's moving in the sky? What's the din? Is it an ohel? No shmeo. Is the din tuma and tara? And Rabbi Ami says there were 300 questions that were asked Over, they asked Doeg and Achitofel about a Migdal Pareach Ba'avir. Doeg and Achitofel are two characters that live in the time of David HaMelech, who are brilliant Chachamim, Yoatzim, and according to the Gemara, Tamidei Chachamim, that go out and end up doing really bad things. Achitofel joins the merit of Shalom and eventually commits suicide. Doeg HaDomi, who turns in no Vira Kohanim to Shaul and kills all of them because they harbored David when he's riding away from Shaul. Now, the Gemara says here that they were brilliant Talmidei Chachamim. Rashi brings one alternative shot about B'migdala Pareach Ba'avir. It says that they used to be Doresh, the letters, and Pareach Ba'avir means the Lamed, the tall letter, the Migdal letter, they used to be Doresh, that letter. So then, the Gemara wants to understand, V'tznan, Gimel Malachim, V'arba'i Jotoy, De'in Lehem L'chadol Kol Ha'ba. The Mishnah Achelik says there are three kings and four lay people that don't have Olam Haba. Two of those people are Achitofel and Doeg HaDomi. So how come, if they were so brilliant and Talmidei Chachamim, how come they don't get Olam Haba? Sanan Ma'atai V'alan. And so Rabbi Yehuda says, if that's what happened to Doeg HaDomi and Achitofel, what's going to happen to us? They were tremendous, greater Talmidei Chachamim than us, and they still ended up in a problem. So Shmuel answered back, Rabbi Yehuda, you sharp one. Tina Haita Bilibam. There was dirt. There was a problem already in their heart, meaning that their activities and what they decided to do in the end was a result of something that was already there beforehand. Acher mai, macher, what tinina did he have in his body? I mean, the implications of this are that anybody who went off the derech, there was something that was already nagging at them or bothering them before they ever left the fold. So acher mai, what was that? It says that zimmer yivani lo pasak mepumei. Greek songs never left his mouth. He used to be singing Greek songs all the time. And as Rashi says, that it was inappropriate because this was after the Churban HaBayit. And it says after Churban HaBayit that one doesn't listen to songs and music, especially Greek songs and music. And therefore, he already is someone who was not exactly on the straight and narrow. He was already involved in things that would have taken him off the Derech HaYashar. Amru alava acher b'shashiyahu made b'beit midrash, when he used to stand up in the baby drash, harbe sifrei minim noshrim mechekol. Many books of the minim used to fall away from him. But basically, the same idea here. I don't know if that's literally, but figuratively, he was already, his mind or his questions already led him to a place that was not so straightforward. And so the pardes only reinforced, but was already there. And again, the Yerushalmi, we saw the stories there about the fact that his father, his mother, something happened while he was in utero. Or something happened when he was first born, that there was something done lo lishma. All of these are indicating the same thing, that there was already the seeds of his demise were planted from the beginning. That's what the Gemara is indicating over here, and that's the nechama that Shmuel gives to Rav Yehuda, that these people are different. They already were doing things that were wrong beforehand. Shal Nimus Agardi at Rabbi Meir. So Nimus Agardi asks Rabbi Meir, Kol Amar Denachit Liore Salik. There's all wool that goes into the cauldron to be dyed. Does it come out? So he asked Rabbi Meir this question. What the question is not clear. We're going to go with Rashi's pshat, and then I'll mention what his Rebbeim say afterwards. So he is saying that all Talmidei Chachamim that go in to learn Torah, do they come out? Okay. Amalei, Komand Avinoki Agavime Solik. Anyone who was already clean on their mother, but clean coming in, Solik comes out. Anything that wasn't originally or inherently clean, lo soli. So basically, when you dye wool, does the dye take? That's the question. So he says, if the wool is clean when it goes in, then the dye takes and it comes out dyed. If the wool is dirty when it goes in, then the dye won't take because the wool is dirty. So same thing here with Talmidei Chachamim. A Talmid Chacham was clean going in, then the Torah comes out from the Torah. The Torah has a good effect on him. But if a person goes in and he's dirty, then the Torah can't cleanse him. The difference between being clean and not clean. Now, what does clean or not clean mean? Rashi says, Yirat Cheto. That kol Yirat Cheto kodemet l'chachmato, then his chachmato mitkayemet. So if he has Yirat Chet, when he goes in to learn Torah, then he'll come out fine and it'll enhance him. But if he's lacking Yirat Chet when he goes in to learn Torah, Torah is not going to change that, and it's going to actually probably come out perverse. He won't come out as cleanly. It won't affect him in that way, or positive way. So that's the way Rashi learns it. He brings from his Rebbeim that they had a different Rebbeim of Hashim, that anybody who goes down to Geinom, Olea Gabimo, does he come out clean? Everybody who goes into Geinom, into the cauldron, do they come out? So Rebbe Meir's answer to it is only people who are Gabime, that are clean based on their mother, means that somebody who has merits, then when they go into Geinom, they get cleansed, and then their merits lift them out afterwards. But someone didn't have merits going to Geinom, they're not going to be able to come out of Gehinom. So that's the way his Rebbeim learned this little mashal that we talked about here. Rabbi Akiva Allah bishalom, v'yarad bishalom. Rabbi Akiva entered without any problem and left without any problem. Allah v'katuv omer on him, the pasuk says, Mashcheni acharecha narutza, draw me after you and I will chase you and I'll run after you. And that there's this encouragement that Rabbi Akiva did the right thing and therefore it pulled in and he continued to run. He's able to run. V'af Rabbi Akiva bikshu malachei sheret l'dochafo. Even Rabbi Akiva, the angels wanted to knock him off. Leave this older gentleman alone, this elder one alone, because he is ra'ui to use my kavod, and that he's okay to see what he's seeing up here. That he's of a level where he can deal with what he is seeing, and it's okay for what he sees. My darash. What was the drasha that Rabbi Akiva made that saved him when he was in the pardes? Why did he save himself from the fate of Ben Azai, Ben Zomain, Acher? Mar says that he was doresh to pasuk. Amar Rabbi Bechana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, va'ata mi revolt kodesh. That he comes with his multitudes of holy ones. Otu birvashalo. He is unique or signed amongst his minions. Rabbi Abau Amar, he says from this, it says, dagul mi revava. That he is distinguished amongst his 10,000s. Dugmahu birvashalo. He stands out or is distinguished amongst his 10,000s. Both of these psukim, or what the Gemara is trying to say here is, Rabbi Akiva knew where not to look, because he knew where he would find a Kodesh Baruch Hu. To be metzitz at a Kodesh Baruch Hu was dangerous. So how did Rabbi Akiva know where to look and where not to look? He knew not to look where a Kodesh Baruch Hu was. How do you know where a Kodesh Baruch Hu was? That's what they're saying here. He was doresh to pasuk. That either he is a sign, or unique, or stands out amongst his minions. So wherever it was standing out, he didn't look over there. Because it says, Hashem tzfakot shemo, is the God of hosts, is his name. Adon hu b'tzavashalo. He's the master, he's the general of his army. So don't look at the general. Rabbi Chiya b'Avam, Rabbi Yochanan, he quotes the pasuk by Eliyahu, a Navi, when he's out by Har Sinai in the Midbar, and he has the revelation like Moshe Rabbeinu had in his time. It says, V'lo beruach Hashem. Not in the wind was Hashem. V'char ruach rash. And after the wind there was noise, or thunder. V'lo berash Hashem. And in the thunder was not Hashem. V'char rash, eish. And after the thunder there was fire. Lo be'esh Hashem, Hashem's not in the fire. V'achar eish, and after the fire, kol dimama daka. There was a thin, veiled sound. V'nei Hashem over, that's not in the pasuk, but basically that's the implication to the pasuk. And that's when Hashem went by. So that's how Rabbi Akiva knew where not to look, because he knew that he's not in the ruach, he's not in the rash, he's not in the eish. That he knew in that thin, veiled sound, in that low voice, that's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu was, and that's where he knew not to look or not to get involved. So that's how Rabbi Akiva protected himself, because he didn't overstep his bound. He didn't go beyond where he was supposed to. And we see even the places that he went to, the Malachim wanted to attack him, but Hashem said that he was ra'ui to be there and it was okay. But he knew not to overstep his bounds and get involved or see something that would throw him off. So he didn't look. How do you know where not to look? He was doresh to Pesukim about where not to look. And therefore he saved himself from the fate of Ben Zoma, Ben Azai, and Acher. And we'll stop here, 9 lines down at 10th Zayin, Amud Aleph.